Hey, Dr. Randy here from Intentional Living. We're going to talk about the power of words today. And as I was approaching the program, I was thinking of a lady who's been in heaven a long time now. Her name was Lily Stewart. And she was sort of a nanny, helped out around our home with my parents working in ministry and so on. And I can remember when I was about, 15, 16 years old, she said to me one day, I can still picture what she said, or I can still hear it, and picture where we were when she said, Randy, you know, I think you could really use your life to impact other people with your words, maybe as a pastor or teacher. And I can still remember her sharing that with me. I guess the question is, who has it been in your life that's lifted you? What did they say that encouraged you? We got a lot of discouragement in life, but who is it that's lifted you and encouraged you with their words, and what did they say? Would you tell me? I'd love to hear it on our storyline at 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717. We already have some people who want to share, and they're from our archived program today, but I want to hear yours on our storyline so we can air some of those in the future. Tell me, who is it that's lifted you? 888-888-1717 is our phone number, and you can leave your comment. I'm Dr. Randy. We're talking about the power of words today here at Intentional Living.
One of the things I decided to be intentional about is, you know, the little white lies people tell? I don't want to tell anymore.
My problem has been talking too much, and so I'm asking the Lord to help me with my words. And I thought, well, if he can shut the mouth of the lions, and like he did in the lion's den, he can certainly shut my mouth.
So. My wife stopped telling me how bad things were, and it was my fault. And after we merged with God's mercy, she demonstrated the fact that God had worked in her life and in telling me that now she loved me and depended on me.
Yeah, it's actually in the book of Proverbs as well, that even a fool seems wise when he keeps his mouth shut. So sometimes it's better not to say anything at all and just let the situation unfold.
You ever said anything dumb and wish you could draw it back after you've said it, maybe to your spouse? You know, you've said, I tell the story in my conferences about coming home one day, and Donna had a little, she had a little car she drove, and there was a scratch all the way down the side of the car from the front to the back of the car that wasn't there when I'd left earlier. And, it wasn't bad. It was just a scratch all the way down the side. It's going to need some repair, and there was some damage to the car. But when I walked in, instead of comforting her and asking her, was she okay, I could see there was no blood, no broken bones. Instead of being smart and caring and, you know, I use my logical mind here and figure out everything's okay, but the car. So my words were, how'd you do that? You hear the silence? And she said, I'm fine, thank you. Ouch. I deserve that, by the way. You know, there was no intention to be insensitive. And I think many times we speak words, we don't have an intention that's, you know, ill-advised or ill-intended. But as we say, we judge ourselves by our intentions, even with our words. We judge ourselves by my intention when I say something. I'm trying to correct, or I'm trying to be helpful, or I just want to be a good friend. So we judge ourselves by our intentions. Others judge us by our words. They judge us by our actions. They judge us by the way they perceive what we say. And sometimes that can be devastating. And so I do have four questions I would encourage you to ask before you speak. And I guess I would ask you, who's spoken into your life at some point that has made a positive difference? Someone who's spoken to your life, some words, maybe a phrase, a statement, a letter, something that really made a difference. Words matter, and I think sometimes we don't stop to think about it. And so let me share with you four questions I would encourage you to ask before you speak. I mean, before you say something that's, you know, can have an impact on someone's life. First of all, what is it that needs to be said? Maybe you have a problem in your marriage and something needs to be said. Maybe you're having a problem with your finances and you got to deal with it. Something's got to be said. Maybe you're having a challenge with your teenager and something's got to be said. You can't just ignore it. In fact, I think sometimes lack of words or proper words can be just as destructive as not crafting some words you need to speak. Silence may be golden, but not when you have to confront an issue. And so what needs to be said? See, when you're ready to speak to a person, the question is, what do you need to communicate? if in the terms of your marriage, if there's a problem and you need to speak something, you need to sit down and craft, what are the words that need to be said? What is it that needs to be communicated? A teenager that's being rebellious and disrespectful, you need to challenge those issues. Now, it's what words you use that matter. That's what we're saying. We're not saying we don't speak. We're just saying that a word aptly spoken makes a difference. And I tell you what, you know this and I know this. There have been people who have come to you and to me who have said some dumb things they didn't intend to say, but it hurt and it confused and it makes you angry when someone says you this or you that, and immediately the defenses go up. So what is it needs to be said? Let me give an example. You know, maybe you're married and there's a problem with finances in your marriage and you're not on the same page. And as a result, you don't know where your money is going. Bills are falling behind. You're not where you want to be. You're not knowing where you're going to be when you get to retirement years. Something needs to be said. And so coming to a conclusion of what needs to be said, which in that case might be we've got some issues we need to settle on. The second question is, how should I say it? With this question, we need to be very intentional and focused on how to say it. If the money is the issue in the marriage, I'm not going to blame. You know, I'm going to say something along the line of, you know, I think we would agree we're not where we want to be, or where did we intend to be with money at this point? And I think it's pretty clear that we're not on the same page. It's not that you're right and I'm wrong, but because we're not on the same page, there's confusion as a result of that. We end up overspending or we don't use good judgment and so on. So what needs to be said and how should you say it? There's two more questions, and we'll get to those here in just a couple minutes. Let me take a caller, though. Tessa's on the line. Welcome to Intentional Living, Tessa.
Hi, Dr. Andy.
How you doing today?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. Fantastic. Tell me, what's an encouraging word?
You know, I think one of the toughest jobs in the world is being a step-parent, and I decided to be a step-parent back when I was 20 years old, and my husband, whenever he tells me how grateful he is for, you know, the choice I made to do that and to kind of put my goals and ambitions on the back burner because, you know, his three kids needed a mom because their mom left, I think is the most heartwarming and filling thing that I can hear throughout my day and my life.
Mm. Keeps you going, doesn't it?
It does. It, you know, it makes everything worth it because, you know, kids don't always know how to be grateful or appreciative of some of the things that you do because they don't know you're doing them. And it really makes me feel connected to my husband and like we're a real team, even when I don't see him a lot because he's working, when he is just says, thank you, and I love you, and I appreciate what you do, and wow, I can't believe you did that. Fills my heart.
Well, I think it's a reminder we can either bring people up or bring people down by the words that we speak, or frankly, by the words that we fail to speak, and it sounds like you got a good thing going there.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for letting me share that. I hope all the husbands out there and step-parents, you know, feel the same.
Mm. It's a good reminder. Thank you, Tessa. Appreciate your call. We're talking about words. In the very first verse of the book of John in the New Testament, there's sort of a reflection back to the beginning, you know, back to the book of Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God. And here, in John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in the Greek, the word is logos, and it's the Greek used this to not only reference the spoken word, but also the unspoken word, you know, the reason behind things. And so even in the scripture, we're reminded that in the beginning was the Word. You know, words matter. God created us with words, to use words, and we use thousands of words every day. I promise you that if you choose to be intentional in speaking the right word at the right time to the right person, it can transform their life or it can bring them down. I know that I have that influence even in my ministry. You know, I get frustrated or I'm struggling and I'll say things and I know it can bring staff down. I know it can bring staff up. And this happens in our marriages. It happens in all of our relationships. So beyond just, you know, what how we appear, the nonverbal things, which are very important, the words that we speak make a huge difference. And what's a word that's made a difference in your life? All right, let me go to Jerry. He's on the line in Texas. Hi there. Welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fantastic. Appreciate your call.
Good.
What are some words that have made a difference in your life, Jerry?
Well, I went to the grocery store one day, and an 18-year-old boy was taking out my groceries. And after he finished, he told me, "Have a blessed day." And it just took me for a surprise. You don't normally hear teenagers saying anything, "bless you," you know, anything that has God in it. And I was just amazed, and it took my heart, and I was like, oh, thank God somebody else does that. Because I do it to my kids and everybody I see. I say, oh, God bless you, have a great day, you know, or have a blessed day if I'm in a hurry. And whenever I heard it back at a young child telling me, you know, it makes me excited that there is hope out there, that other people realize that God is real.
Absolutely. That's good. That's a reminder that in the workplace, when we're interacting with people, even casually, the words of our mouth, the things that we say can make a difference. In somebody's day, when they're really down, it can make a difference. Yeah,
yes,
absolutely.
And our tongues have power in them.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, it speaks as life and death and the power of the tongue, right? It can start a whole forest on fire. I have these apples of gold in front of me, or actually, they're artificial apples that we painted with gold paint, actually. And as we take them out to conferences, people write on them words to their spouse. And I share some of them from the platform. And we've had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. And I just picked up another one here. Here's one. It says, "I love how much you love me." Isn't that something? How about this one? "Thank you for forgiving me." That's a powerful thing, isn't it? "I need you" is another one. "God gave you me." Here's another one. It says, "I respect that you have our best interest at heart." Here's one. It says, "You are a very smart and amazing woman of God." Boy, and these pass around the auditorium, and we'll bring, you know, dozens of them, pass them around, and hundreds of comments written on them. You know, if we spoke those words every day in our marriage, if that was the attitude of our heart every day, and we made that an intentional decision. One of the things about intentional, and we talk about repeating the right actions until they become habits. If we made a decision to be intentional in the words that we speak in our marriage, in the words that we speak in our relationships with our kids and so on, it would be transformational in your life. I promise you that. There's no question about it. Let me go to Michelle. What encouraging word have you heard, Michelle? What's made a difference in your life?
My pastor had something to say to me. He said, "Michelle, you need to let go whatever you think people have said to you or what they have done to you in the past. Just let go." And that's been a wonderful relief for me. It's wonderful words. Permission to let go.
Yeah, because, well, that's right. You said you get permission to let go because it's easy to hang on to things, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So that made a difference in your life.
It made a big difference.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting?
I'm a much happier person since I heard those words.
Isn't that interesting? Just a sentence. Hey, Michelle, let it go. Let it go. Some things you can control, some things you can't. The words we speak matter. Thank you. Appreciate your calls. Two more questions I'm going to encourage you to ask before you speak in just a minute.
Yes, this is a comment that I have on words. And I'm just listening to your station. This is the second time I've listened. And I'm really enjoying it. And I'm calling from Overland Park, Kansas. And I just remember my mother used to tell me, you know, she heard me talking to my kids in a way she didn't like. She would say, "Deb, weigh your words carefully. They're heavier than you think." And at the time, I don't think I realized, but now I know what she meant. I mean, it could affect them for a long, long time. And I know they do. They did with me. So God bless you. Hope this helps anyone out there listening.
Well, someone, I'm sure. Thank you for sharing your stories, by the way, on our comment line, story line, at 888-888-1717. On Facebook, Jeannie's weighed in. She said on this question of when has a simple word from someone really encouraged you, And the word was, be still, my daughter. Be still, my daughter. Now, mom could say that, but you know, you could also hear the Holy Spirit speaking in your spirit to say, hey, just be still. When you think of the Word of God, that can speak to you as well, can it? You think about the encouragement of a scripture verse or a passage or a story that's made a difference in your life. So, questions, four questions to ask before you speak. Number three is, when should you say it? I think timing is one of those critical things in talking to another person that we don't take into consideration. Typically, in the heat of battle is not the right time to speak. It's time to shut up and listen. Back off. Question with open-ended questions that you can absorb and not try to attack or defend. That's not the moment. I know it's the reaction, and I know that we all are guilty of it at sometimes. But mature people, as we grow in our intentional living in Christ, we learn that sometimes it needs to be silence, with the timing being at another time. Maybe when you're confronting an issue that needs to be discussed, it's done at a time separate from the heated moment, when things can get so overheated. And I know, I do that. You know, you're emotionally engaged, you're passionate about whatever the topic is, you have something to say, and you say it. That's why the scripture, when it says a word aptly spoken, by the word aptly means not only the right word, but at the right time. See, a word aptly spoken, right word, right time, right season, right way, and then there's this word picture. It's like a setting of apples of gold in this beautiful silver bowl. That's a beautiful picture. I use it in my conferences as a reminder of the power of words. In fact, hundreds of people have written on golden apples that I spray painted with gold paint around my conferences. They've written words that have made a difference in their lives, or words that their spouse have spoken to them that had made a difference. And timing is so critical. When to say what needs to be said. More on the questions to ask yourself in a moment, and you're welcome to join us at 888-888-1717.
Hi, my name is Christy. The one thing that I would love to work on over the year is my reactions to other people's words. I would love to be able to show God's love instead of maybe getting angry or getting upset or taking offense. I really need to work on how I react and be able to show people God's love.
You know, Christy, as you were, you know, sharing your story, I was thinking of that passage in Scripture that says that a word aptly spoken is a lot like apples of gold and settings of silver. That's sort of a word picture, isn't it? It's something that you would, if you had this setting of silver and you had these golden apples, can't you picture that on your table? Everybody enjoying this in your home. That's sort of the picture, I think, of how the words that we speak matter. You know, the Bible talks about our words, that we should let no corrupt communication come out of our mouth, but only that which will be edifying and uplifting. And understanding that the power of our words can either lift or lower. And this is true in our marriage, it's true in life. So I guess as we're thinking about the power of words today, I'd like to be more of a lifter in my life, more of a lifter than one who lowers people. Hope you'll join me in that. Talking about the power of words today. If you're primarily a head person, meaning that you see life primarily through logic, bottom line, facts, that's sort of the default that you'll slip into when there's an issue in life, the question is, how is it impacting your life? And one of the things those of us that are head people need to watch out for is that we can appear to other people as being uncaring, which isn't always true. We care, but the fact is we just jump from feeling to solution sometimes too quickly. You know, the teaching this month for our intentional living community, I titled it Your Window to the World. There's three of them. And generally, we sort of gravitate toward one window, don't we? Either a head person, heart person, or hand person, head, heart, and hand, thinking, feeling, or doing. And which you tend to gravitate toward will impact your relationships. And so, as you receive this teaching, and it'll be coming to you by email and video and audio, I would encourage you to share it with your kids. You know, our passion is to help take the intentional living message to the next generation. Share it with your kids, maybe around the table, and talk a little bit about
who they are and how you see them and how they process and how it impacts their relationships. And you can talk to them about God's intention for their life. And it can be a really powerful, important, sweet time for you with your children or grandchildren. And if you're not a part of our intentional living community, but joining us on the radio or listening by podcast today, can I invite you to come and be a part of this community? I think it's a place where when we step in, we say, hey, listen, I want to take my faith and apply it to how I live. And man, desperately now more than ever, I'd like to have more peace and more purpose and meaning and direction in my life. And living intentionally is something that helped me do that, thinking intentionally in Christ. Your monthly support helps us continue to do this as a listener-supported ministry. All you have to do to join us today and become a part of our community is go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. Click on that donate button and come and join us with Intentional Living. And I'd love to be able to report to everybody, hey, welcome to you, to the community that's growing around the country. Again, go to theintentionallife.com. Hey, we're going to be right back. We got some more callers standing by to talk about the power of words.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. Randy.
Okay, thank you, Kurt. You know, we're talking about the power of words today. It's interesting, there's a picture in the book of James chapter 3 that talks about words. Here's what it says, James 3, 5, and 6. A tiny spark can set a great forest afire. You know, where we live, we live in the mountain areas of southern Arizona, and we have the mountains around us and up into the Mogollon Rim and other places where there's beautiful pine trees. And every summer when things get really dry in the desert, even a tiny spark, you know, someone leaves a campfire burning or a cigarette thrown out the window, even a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And we've seen every year, not only here in our home state, but all over the West in particular, where one spark can set thousands of acres on fire. And then James takes that picture that's so clear, we've seen it on the news, and says, and the tongue... And the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a world, a whole world of wickedness corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire. Some of you have been burned by your words. And that's why we caution, you know, what we say, how we say it, making sure the intentions are clearly motivated and pure and that we articulate it in a way that doesn't start set a fire ablaze, but we do it with great passion and at the same time with clarity, and that's being intentional. Okay, let me go to the calls here. We got Rochelle in New Mexico. Hi there.
Hi.
How are you today?
I'm doing good, thank you.
Fantastic. What's your comment on the power of words?
I will just say that words have, you know, it's very powerful. When we speak and yell at the kids or to anyone, it's powerful and it hurts badly. Mm. I myself was born with 15 siblings, and wow, most of the time my sibling will just get into me whenever something wrong happened or something just I didn't do. They don't trust you. They're just going to get into you, that you're going to feel down and low self-esteem. I have been feeling myself low self-esteem and worthless since I was about 6 years old. And mm-hmm. I went through that for so long that I started believing that I'm worthless, that I'm just a stupid girl like they call, and all kind of bad name that will come out to them. So I let that get into me since I was 6 years old until now that I'm 25. Mm. I'm starting to realize that, no, those words can never let me down. That's I'm right. not that person.
You're not.
I'm not that kind of person. And God sent me in this war. He knows why. It's not because of my family. It's because God wanted me to be here.
Mm.
And my father, before he died, he always used to tell me that I'm a very smart woman, that I shouldn't be, I shouldn't let this world bother me as much. I can't make my life better as I want. I can't make things better and I shouldn't worry about that. Now that I start thinking what my dad told me, so I'm starting to believe in myself, and I'm seeing that things are going good than the way I used to be before.
Good for you. Listen, Rochelle, your dad's right. Your dad is absolutely right. You know, we can absorb words, and they hurt. Here's what I've experienced working with people over the years. Some of the smartest people, I mean just intelligent people, are sometimes the ones most damaged by words, because being sometimes so intelligent, we're also aware. And being aware, we kind of absorb it like a sponge. And we start to believe what people say about us. But because you're a smart young woman, you recognize that these words are not reality. Not every word spoken is reality. You look at how people in our culture are getting confused when they're getting messages online and what have you, and they're running off after things that are not truth. And we keep coming back to truth, Rochelle, and I would challenge you to focus on the truth that is very clear, that God has made each of us with a very special talent and a gift. He's made us as unique individuals with our own fingerprint and DNA, that He has a plan and a purpose for every person on this planet. And one of the passions of our life and our ministry here is to help people find what that purpose is for their life and live it to the fullest, whatever that may be. And so my encouragement is for you to believe what your dad said. You're a very special young woman that God created with a purpose, and that's why you're here, and that you'd be intentional in finding it and living it every day intentionally for Him.
I don't know who it was, but it changed my life forever when this lady said, forgiveness is not for them, it's for you, because not forgiving them gives them the power over you. And that changed my life.
You know, that's the power of words. Forgiveness, we are commanded to forgive, and the reality is the person that you're choosing to forgive may or may not accept it, receive it, or really believe it, but forgiveness is also for us. As we forgive those around us, perhaps who have hurt us. Doesn't mean there's not boundaries in place or issues that need to be dealt with, but there's power in the power of forgiveness. I'm Dr. Randy. I hope today has been encouraging to you. I'd love to have you call and share in our storyline, 888-888-1717, how the power of words made a difference in your life. Maybe a word that has made a difference in your life. Come and share it with us at Intentional Living. I want to say thanks to Stephen and to the rest of our Intentional Living team that work behind the scenes for allowing us to do this today. It's because of them that we can come your way. I want to thank the local radio stations for your great service to the community. God bless you. We'll see you next time. Be safe and be intentional.